You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm not wishing to glorify any demonic being. I think it's important that I tell you about my encounter with the demonic being so that I can teach you something about how demonic beings work. And this is very, very important. I'm going to tell you about my experience. Of course, we're going to get into the Word and ground this truth. And then I hope that the truth will set you free and help keep you out of bondage. A few years ago, I had a dream that stood out in my mind. Now, I believe that God can speak to the believer through dreams. And at some point, I think I'm going to lay out a teaching on that. But I want to tell you about this dream I had because I think it's important that you learn this spiritual principle. So in my dream, I'm asleep in my room. And suddenly I wake up, and I'm waking up in my dream. And in my room, I could see this black mist beginning to form, this black, dark cloud. Immediately, I knew in my spirit that this black cloud was demonic in nature. Then, as I began to look at it more, my eyes adjusted, and I was able to make out features, and the details became apparent. I saw eyes in the cloud. I saw a mouth in the cloud. And so, in my dream, I begin to rebuke this demonic spirit. I say, in the name of Jesus, you have to go. And it just stood there. Now, here's what was really creepy about it. This demonic cloud just stood there smiling at me while I'm praying against it. So I said again, I mustered all the authority in my voice I could muster. I said, in the name of Jesus, you have to go. Still, this demonic cloud hovered about my room. I could sense the darkness around it. And so again, I prayed, in the name of Jesus, you have to go. You have no right to be here. And that demonic being, almost tauntingly, says to me, yes, I do. And I didn't understand that at first. I was confused. And I thought, how is it possible that this demonic being is resisting prayers prayed in the name of Jesus? So again, one more time, I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. You have to leave. And it insisted, I have a right to be here. Then it began to explain to me, someone in your family has opened the door. And someone in your family is attempting to talk with the dead. And then I woke up. When I woke up, I began to pray. And so I called my grandmother because she's very familiar with all of the members of our family. So I told my grandmother, I call her Nani. I said, Nani, listen, you have to tell this individual in our family who is practicing witchcraft to stop practicing necromancy. And so she obviously did that. We prayed, and I believe we closed that demonic door. Now, this demonic spirit didn't necessarily gain access to my life because of what this individual in our family was doing, but this demonic spirit had gained access into our family and anybody who was vulnerable, anybody who was not filled with the Spirit. And I believe that because I'm spiritual, God spoke to me as a warning for our family, and that door was closed. But this dream got me thinking because never before had I experienced anything like this. Typically, when it comes to demonic beings, I believe that when you rebuke them in the name of Jesus, it's an instant deliverance. We ought to cast out demons like Jesus cast them out. And so I don't believe in this back and forth, this therapy, this what happened to you when you're 6 years old, let's go back 5 years and break generational curses with special prayers. No, when I give my heart to Jesus, every curse is broken. But still, that's why I was confused, because it completely went against my understanding of what I believe the Scripture says. Now, of course, we did reconcile these two beliefs. I still believe that, by the way. We should not have these back and forth conversations with demonic beings, debate with them, ask them how they got in, ask them what their name is. My goodness, people interview these things, they practically might as well ask them their favorite color. But in Matthew chapter 12, we see something very powerful. And this is Jesus talking about evil spirits. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 43. I want you to look at this. This is very interesting. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest, but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. So let's break this down. Let's look at verse 43. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. So this demonic being is able to exercise its own decision-making power. And it says to itself, I will return. So it makes plans, it makes strategies, it looks at the individual, and it calculates how it ought to attack that individual. So it returns to that person and finds the former home empty, swept, and in order. And that's going to be very key for what I want to teach you right now. But let's jump down to verse 45, and then we'll come back up to 44. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself. So here we see that demonic beings communicate with each other. They coordinate. Not only that, we see that there are levels of evil to demonic beings. And they all enter the person and live there. More than one demonic spirit can possess an individual at any given time. And that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. Now, going back up to verse 44, then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Now, swept and in order can be talking about this moral superiority that people find, or perhaps they see themselves as more put together than they were before. But one of the most terrifying things I've learned about demonic beings is that they return to the individual that they once possessed or influenced. So they make a full circle back at you. This is why you can be delivered from an issue, walk in the spirit, and then all of a sudden find yourself fighting the same demons. They watch, they study, they observe. They plan their attacks. They coordinate with one another. They call demons of higher rank in evil. And they come together to make sure that your soul is tormented, that your mind is tormented. And for the unbeliever, they come together to possess that individual, to gain influence from that individual once again. So the spirit finds seven more evil than itself. They all enter that person and live there. This is a very, very terrifying state of being. Multiple demons living in one individual. Now, I've made it clear that I don't believe that Christians can be demon-possessed, but still Christians can learn something from this. And the fact is that demonic beings return. They come back to test the grounds. They see that you were delivered, and they come full circle. And they want to see, are there any weaknesses? Are there any areas that you've begun to compromise in? And then they take advantage of those weaknesses. They take advantage of those compromises. But it finds you, most importantly, empty. Now, we know that when you surrender to the Holy Spirit, He fills you with His power. We know that to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't be full of yourself. We know that the Holy Spirit comes on those who yield, comes on those who say, Lord, take my life. But this truly is a law of spiritual beings. And that is, spiritual beings always look for empty places. In your life, you may say, well, I don't necessarily know what you mean by empty places. What do you mean, David, when you tell me that a demonic being comes to look and see if I am empty anywhere? I mean this, wherever there is a lack of the Holy Spirit in your life, a demonic being will seek to influence. Now, again, I have to emphasize that I do not believe that Christians can be demon-possessed. Nor do I believe they can be oppressed, because when believers say Christians can't be possessed, they can be oppressed, what they're basically saying is semantics. And they have this word oppression, which basically means a lower level of possession. But that's not what I think actually happens. I think what actually happens is that demonic beings begin to torment. They begin to tempt. They begin to taunt. They begin to whisper lies. They begin to gain influence over you through what they say and how they deceive. And they gain this influence. They gain this power by you becoming empty, by you leaving vacancies for them to fill. How do we leave those vacancies? A lack of a prayer life, a lack of worship, a lack of holiness, especially a lack of devotion to the Word of God. When you say, I'm going to sacrifice my prayer life and instead entertain myself by socializing with people, by going on this trip or that trip, or by watching that form of entertainment, or by consuming the media that we consume through social media, through television, through radio. What you're doing is you're emptying yourself. You're leaving a vacancy. Now, I'm not saying that we are never to socialize with friends. I'm not saying that there isn't some media that we can't consume. You know, media is good. You're watching media right now. You're listening to media right now. You're receiving this in some way, and God is speaking to you through this media. But then there are those things that we allow in our lives that aren't necessarily beneficial for our spirit, and they take the place of what could be a spiritual experience. They take the place of what could be spiritual devotion. And so this is why I think it's so important we recognize that demonic beings look for empty places. They look for a lack of the word. They look for a lack of prayer. If you don't have a prayer life, you don't stand a chance. If you're not devoted to the word of God, within 3 years, you won't be a believer. Within 3 years, you won't be serving God. Not really. Maybe you'll be going through the motions of it, but there'll be no power. There'll be no true evangelism. There'll be no true holiness. There will be no breakthrough over and gaining power over sin. It will all be a facade. You must close the gaps. You must quit the compromise. You must close the open door. If there is no prayer in your life, if there is no devotion to the word, if there is no worship, if there is no holiness, you open that door wide open. And when that demonic being makes a full circle back, sing if you're empty. Perhaps maybe you might feel swept in an order and things are looking good now because you've been serving God. You received his benefits, but you've left his presence. They look for that. When I'm swept in an order, it's because God did that. God brought things in order in my life. But some of us receive the order. We receive the cleaning. And then we step away from the presence and we become empty, creating a void for demonic beings. My advice to you, fill the gaps with the things of the Spirit. And that is it for the lesson. I want to pray with you now. I want to pray that God will give you discernment, that you might see these areas that you're leaving open to demonic influence. Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift that one receiving this prayer to you now. And I ask, Lord, that you would begin to speak to them, even in dreams, in their devotion to your word, in their prayer time. Speak to them, Father, that they might close these gaps, that they might seal these areas of weakness and compromise. Lord, strengthen that which is weak and reveal to them these areas that need to be filled again with the things of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and I want you to say it because you agree. Say amen. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.